With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Steny Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. We're turning our Bible to the book of 1 John chapter number 1, and we're going to continue the series that I've been preaching on the subject dealing with. And we're looking at problems that arises in the life of Christians and how to deal with them. Again, I emphasize, someone has said there is a lot of preaching about what, but not much preaching about how. There's a lot of preaching that points out what's wrong with us, but not much preaching that gives us instruction on how to deal with the problems that we face. And some time ago, God began to burn this message in my heart, and it developed from a message into a series. And so we're just looking in the Word of God at different issues that the Christian face and how that we can deal with them in the light of the Scripture and find victory to overcome every obstacle that comes into our lives. We started out, first of all, by looking at the thought of dealing with temptation. And we discovered from the Word of God that a temptation is a solicitation to commit sin. It does not come from God. It comes from the devil. And its purpose is to destroy us by bringing out the bad that is inside us. And we looked in the Word of God at the example of Christ in his temptation in Matthew chapter number 4, also in Luke chapter number 4. And then we looked at the exhortation to the Christian and his time of temptation and how to deal with them. And I do not have time to go back and repeat a lot of the outline and the things that we studied, but I'm glad that there is victory over temptation through the power of the Scriptures and through the power of the Spirit of God. And then on last week's broadcast, we looked at the subject dealing with trials. And I distinguish between a temptation and a trial by simply saying that a temptation is a solicitation to do evil. It comes from the devil to destroy us. But a trial is a testing of our faith. It comes from God, and its purpose is to develop us. And I pointed out these four thoughts on the broadcast last week. God allows trials to come into our life to develop us for Christian service. I pointed out to you in James chapter number 1 how that in a time of testing and trials, God develops our patience, God develops our perfection, and God develops our praying. And there is no other way of developing us for Christian service like the fiery trials that God allows to come into our life. But remember, they're not to destroy us. They are to develop us. And then we saw not only do Christians suffer trials, but we saw that Christians suffer things. We looked in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we looked at those puzzling incidents that comes into our life. We cannot explain them, but God allows them to come that he might conform us to the image of his dear Son. So we saw that God allows these things to come into our life to display through us a Christ similarity. And then the third thing we looked at, God allows Christians to suffer a thorn in the flesh. And the purpose of the thorn, again, is not to destroy us, but is to demonstrate to us Christ's sufficiency. Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn to be removed. But God, in essence, said to Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn, but I will provide sufficient grace. And you will get so carried away with my grace and my attention that you'd rather have that and have the thorn than not have the thorn and not have the attention that I'm going to give to you. And then we saw lastly that God's people suffers tribulation, pressures on every side. So we've looked thus far at two thoughts, dealing with temptation and dealing with trials. Now, for the time of the broadcast today, and probably throughout all of this week, I want to look at the subject, dealing with sins in the life of a believer. I know I'm saved, but yet I sin. How do I deal with that sin? And I want to deal with that in the light of the Scriptures as the Holy Spirit directs us day after day on the broadcast. Notice, if you will, in the book of 1 John chapter number 1, the Bible said in verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse number 10 said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, in verse number 8 deals with our nature, our condition. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In verse number 10 deals with our living, our character. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But verse number 9 deals with our confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're going to work our way through the Word of God and learn how that the Christian, the child of God, can deal with the sins that have come and do come into the life of believers. Let me say to you, first of all, that there are many, many, many people today who live under a heavy load of unnecessary guilt because of something they have done in their past. Maybe the devil's lied to them. Society may have lied to them and told them, there is no forgiveness. You will never get past this, and you will never enjoy the blessings of God upon your life again. I want to tell you, friend, the devil is a liar. God made provision for our sins even after we're saved. I read in 1 John chapter number 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. But listen what he said in chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Now, if you'd have stopped there, we would have all been in big trouble. But he did not stop there. He said in the last half of verse number 1, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse number 2 said, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins also of the whole world. And so here we find God makes provision for the sin of the believer. I realize there is much guilt being carried today. There's that guilt that comes with the condemnation of society. There is that guilt that comes with the condemnation because of our sin. And then there is that guilt that comes because of condemnation of ourselves. You know, one of the problems we have in this matter of sin in the life of a believer, it's not that God will not forgive us, but we are not willing to accept his forgiveness. And then we're not willing to forgive ourselves for what we've done. Let me begin by, first of all, addressing what the sinner does for his sin. Listen to me carefully. Now, a sinner can repent and repent all he wants to. But if repenting is all he does, he will never, ever get forgiveness of the guilt of his sin. The only thing that a sinner can do with his sins is bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ with repentance and faith and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. The moment that sinner is saved, then all of his sins are washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The old body of sin dies. That sinner becomes a new creature. in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a new life, a new beginning. Getting saved will destroy the penalty of your sin, and it will break the power of sin's hold upon you. It will do away with your sin. So when a person is not saved, they come to Christ as a repenting sinner, by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then God saves them, God forgives them, God sets them free from the penalty of their sin, God sets them free from the power of sin, and God sets them free to overcome sin through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that a sinner can do is come to Christ and be saved. And once you're saved, there is forgiveness of all your sin. When God saves a sinner, God forgives his sin, then God forgets their sin. God said, in their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. Listen to me, dear sinner, today. I do not care what you have done. I do not care what the sins of your past are. I do not care what the sins of your present is. I do not even care what your plans are. If you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from your sin and yourself to the Savior, then God will save you. He'll wash your sin away. He'll lift the guilt and condemnation off of your soul. He will flood your soul with the joy of the Lord and with the peace of God. And you can experience genuine forgiveness in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot work enough to cover up your sins. You cannot make peace with God over your sin in your own self. As a matter of fact, you don't have to. God has already provided peace for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 20, Christ having made peace through the blood of his cross. So, dear sinner, listen to me today. You say, preacher, how can I get rid of this guilt and this load of sin? Well, let me say it as plain as I can. Just bundle up all of your sin, all of the mess you've got your life in, all of the problems that sin has brought into your life, and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast it all upon him. Receive him with repentance and faith, and God will save you and give you a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put it off. Do it right now there by the radio. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. Save the lost as they turn to you today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Let me encourage you that you pray.